This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032 or via email at info@stjohnsbooks.com.
This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Put eight playwrights and a group of actors and directors together, and what do you get? Well, it's Thicker Than Water, a festival of plays opening this Thursday through Sunday, perfect for Mother's Day weekend. We'll talk with three artists from Thicker Than Water on today's show, and then in the latter part of the show, we continue with our Asian Pacific American Heritage Month features with the story of frontier herbalist Doc Hay. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are C.G. Guerin. Did I pronounce your name right? Oh, C.G. There you go. Buffy Rogers
That's right.
Ellen West. Welcome all to Stage and Studio. You're all from Thicker Than Water. It's a production of eight new plays this Thursday through Sunday. And I understand that this production came out of a weekly series of meetings with women playwrights. Is that right, Ellen?
Twice a month. Every other week, yes. We've been doing that for a number of years, and CG is a new member, both CG and Buffy are new to New Portland. Welcome.
Thank you.
And they brought a lot of energy.
So you have this bi-monthly, or what is that, bi-monthly if it's every other week? I don't know. Bi-weekly or
bi-weekly.
Whatever. There you go. Group of meetings, and so out of this emerged some plays.
Well, the women in the group were all working on mother-daughter issues in their play.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Aren't we all?
It's a lifetime working process, isn't it? Well, so the plays that came out, they seem to be perfect for Mother's Day, obviously.
Yeah.
Tell us about the eight plays. Now, I understand that, CG, you are the artistic director or acting as artistic director with this
yes,
right now?
Yes, for this festival.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the plays that are happening.
We have a little bit of everything from pieces that are very skit-like oriented to surreal pieces to very dramatic pieces, some that are heartwarming, some that are rather creepy, and everything in between. And I think the most interesting part about having all these pieces together is that it does, the mother-daughter relationship is so complex that it does sort of tap on many, many different angles of those kinds of relationships.
Yeah, you get eight different perspectives there.
Yes, and all ages. We have playwrights from their early 20s all the way up to their 70s participating in the event.
You pointed to Ellen when you said all the way up to their 70s. Did we give away your age, Ellen? So
that's
what piece are you doing for it?
Mine is called All Through the Years, and it's about a guardian angel who is trying to encourage her ward to make the right choice when she returns to Earth.
All right. A little bit of fancifulness there.
Yeah.
Fantasy. And now, Buffy, do you have a play in this as well?
I do not have a play. I'm in a piece, and I am directing a piece, but I started this female company called the Blue Stockings, and we have sort of utilized the talents of the Blue Stockings to be the talent and almost everything you see front of stage. So a lot of the women in my company are on stage, and I direct a piece about a grandmother finding out that her sweet granddaughter is indeed stealing. So it's one of those coming of ages, when are you going to learn to be a woman of shame or a woman of honor? And so that's the piece that I'm directing, and I'm in a piece about a woman in her 30s, who's finally realizing her mom is the cause of many of her stresses.
And who are some of the playwrights? You mentioned two pieces there.
Vivian Lyon directed and was the playwright on Phone Call that I'm in. And Shasha Sassone is the playwright for the piece that I'm directing, and she is an award-winning playwright, and she's had many, many plays done. So,
and they're all local playwrights. Then.
All local playwrights, all local artists.
Let's name them all. So is Susan Gidding Green has a piece?
Susan Gidding Green has a piece called Missing Teeth, Milk by Sandra Steinkamp, Snapdragon by Gretchen O'Halloran. What's our third piece?
Crappy at Yoga by Serena Makovsky. and Shasha wrote The Conditions of Unconditional Love and Milk by Sandra Steinkamp.
Wonderful.
And then my piece, I wrote a piece called Echoes.
And what's that about?
That is sort of about repetitive history, sort of a mother and daughter trapped in the cycle of the same mother and daughter relationships generation after generation after generation.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Well, if you just joined us, just in case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm D. May Roberts. My guests are Buffy Rogers, Ellen West, and C.G. Guerin. They're putting together Thicker Than Water this Thursday through Sunday, and it's all perfect for Mother's Day weekend because it's all about moms and daughters, I assume. Performances are at Performance Works Northwest at 4625 Southeast 67th Avenue in Portland, and tickets are a modest $10 with 2-for-1 prices for each mother-child pair, and they're available through Performance Works at 503-777-1907, that's 777-1907, or visit their website at performanceworksnw4northwest.org. Now, this new space, Performance Works Northwest, what is that like? That's a new one. It's on 67th Avenue. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If I have this correctly, and CG can correct me. I believe it's a couple who have, she's a performance artist and a dancer, and he as well, and they've actually formed their house into a performance space.
Oh.
So it's a gigantic dance studio, and it's used for a multitude of things. And I guess CG can probably tell you a little more.
How many people does it fit?
It's about 40 seats.
So it's very intimate. Yeah.
It's very intimate space. It's a great space for new work because it is a performance space. It allows the intimacy. It allows a different kind of theatricality to the space. And the seating is a potpourri of things. We've got church pews and chairs and so that
pillows.
Yeah, there's something
like
about
the idea of pillows.
The floor.
Yeah. Well, it allows a sort of casualness
to kind of stretch out and recline there. I like that idea.
Yeah. If you don't like one of the play,
yeah. Wiggle out.
Well, that sounds really fun, actually, to have such a intimate setting too, to really get to know the plays and the playwrights and the performers. Now, you're both, CG and Buffy, you're both new to Portland, right?
Yes.
And I understand, Buffy, that you were recently located here after Hurricane Katrina. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, I'm not from New Orleans, as you can tell by my non-accent. But I was down there for 5 years, and this was a good push. I always wanted to go to Portland, but it was sort of God saying, guess what? You're going there now, so... I'm here and I'm loving it. So,
well, what was your situation that you had to leave?
Well, I actually, strangely enough, was in Alaska when it hit, and so I was able to get all my stuff. And
were you? That's
my dog.
Good.
And
yeah, that's fortunate. And your dog too.
And everything.
Wow.
Yeah, and everyone's accounted for and safe. And so things happen, but I'm loving the art scene out here, and it's a blessing in some ways. So.
Yes, yeah. And a new start. I just was wondering how you found the Portland community, the arts community here.
Oh, I've had several friends, and I've visited Portland a lot in the last 5 years, and it was the plan to do it. So it just...
It was the little push. Yeah.
It was the push, yes.
Yeah. How have you found it, CG?
I really like it. There's a lot of interest in the arts here, and I really like interdisciplinary arts, and there's a lot of... music and visual arts and theater
dance.
We really are blessed to have so much, mm-hmm. so many artists yeah. and arts opportunities here too.
And an audience. Yeah. I mean, there's people that are actually interested. When I was first coming up, I would just ask anybody, the guy filling my gas tank, and about theater, and I was surprised that they were like, oh yeah, ART or this theater company or that.
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
That was wonderful. I was like, wow.
And you like Portland so much that you're actually going to have a Portland-born daughter or son,
yes,
right, Whitney?
Yes,
if
very
you come,
soon.
If you come to the show, you miss a live birth.
Yeah. How many months
nine
are
months
you?
Pregnant?
Are you 9 months?
I'm 37 weeks.
So anytime now.
Anytime now.
Speaking of Mother's Day.
The clock is ticking.
Yes.
It might be really thicker than water. You don't know.
I don't know if it's a mixed blessing for a child to be born on Mother's Day.
It could lead to a lot of issues later on. But hopefully you can wait it out till after the production.
I'm hoping.
Oh, that'd be great. So you know, it sounds like you guys have all, you know, how long has this process been for putting this show together?
Fairly short. We started in February.
Late February we had the original germ idea. We expanded from there and started to actually go into rehearsals, I would say 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, so the rehearsal process has been short. The pieces are short.
They're like 10 minutes or 10 to 15. And then about how many characters are in each play?
Three is the max. Yeah. Most of them are two.
So you did have that as a guideline.
Yes, we had several submissions and asking for a very simple set, 2 to 3 characters, and CG can tell you how many strange things we got and how many wonderful things we got. So it was hard to choose, but we went through the process of picking our 8 favorites and...
So you actually took submissions then? Yeah. It wasn't just from the playwrights group then?
Well, it started with us as the core.
Right.
We knew we would do a certain number of our plays, but then we opened it up.
Oh, wonderful.
We would really like to get, you know, there's a lot of playwrights in Portland, but not really an organized sort of group of working together to get work produced. And that's one of the things that we want to try to promote with the festival. So we definitely opened it up to as many writers as we could afford to include.
We will be talking about that, too, at the festival.
Yes.
About getting more work?
Getting more playwrights, getting a playwright community started.
Well, I know, Ellen.
We're developing new work.
Ellen, you've been working at this for quite a while.
14
since
years.
I've known you. Well, no, I mean, as far as trying to organize something.
Yes.
And you've organized things with the Northwest Playwrights Guild in the past. And,
right.
And so it's still a struggle, isn't it? Just
yes.
to get that going.
Yes, but I think with this new energy that CG and Buffy and they've got a real workshop production going. It's the first time in 14 years that I've participated. I mean, I've had things read and I've had things produced, but this workshop experience, which was one of the features of this for the playwrights, was different because I literally came in without an ending to the play. It was a first draft. We all know what first drafts are. I think the actor, Eleanor O'Brien, I think she wrote the end for me. I swear she did.
Well, that happens in the production process, though. And so many opportunities for playwrights and original work are based on just having the reading and audience feedback. Mm-hmm. And I think that accomplishes some things, but without actually having people memorize your words and, you know, blocking and moving around the stage, you really don't know what the play's going to be like.
And become the character.
Because it's more than the words. I mean, the words are important, but...
And as an actor, I just think it's an actor's dream to be able to workshop, because you can't ask Tennessee Williams, can I change this? I mean, you can, you know, it's just so wonderful to be able to say, hey, you know what, as an actor, and give ideas and feedback, and that's been part of the process that I've loved as a director and an actor in this, is you can say, hey, what about this? And I just love it. So
theater's collaborative, but there's nothing more collaborative than working on new work altogether.
Right.
So that's great that you're able to pursue that. So at the event you're going to announce that.
Yes, there's a May 30th general meeting for all playwrights in the area.
Oh, tell us about that.
It's going to be at a new theater called Arts Equity at the Main Street Theater in Vancouver. That Llewellyn Rowe, I don't know if you know, Llewellyn's been on the scene too for a long time.
Yeah,
he's offered us the space, and I think that he's... going to, you know, keep offering us a space for more public readings than our living room groups.
And what time is that at?
That's going to be at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, May 30th.
And do you need, if anybody needs directions or anything, do you have a number?
Yeah, they'll call me. Yeah, it's 606 Main Street.
So say that again?
It's 606 Main Street. It's
Arts
Equity.
What about email you? How's that?
Email me.
Okay, what's your email address?
Ellencchamb.
at AOL.com.
Well, oh, there you go. Good. I got it out of you.
Owen Chump.
I got it out of you. Well, that's great. Thicker Than Water runs Thursday through Sunday at Performance Works Northwest at 4625 Southeast 67th Avenue. What's the cross street on that 67th?
Foster.
So there is a website for people to go to if they want it. It's www.thebluestockings.com with no E.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay. So
don't put an E in there because you'll get a whole different website. So it's www.thebluestockings.com.
So it's T-H?
T-H-E-B-L-U-S-T-O-C-K-I-N-G-S.
Oh, B-L-U.
So thebluestockings.com.
Are you blue?
And you'll have, there's directions and all the show info on that site as well.
Well, Thicker Than Water also runs Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 o'clock. And the two shows on Mother's Day, this Sunday, are 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Tickets are priced at $10. Very good deal. Very, very good deal. With 2-for-1 prices for each mother-child pair, with another even better deal, and are available through Performance Works at 503-777-1907. That's 777-1907. So I wanted to say, it's been great to see you, Ellen West.
Good to see you again.
Although I know you have a different name. But, it's through the years, you've really been championing, especially women playwrights work and getting it out there. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
It's great to see you again and just to have you, in our community.
Break your leg.
Oh, okay, I will. Don't tell me that. I've got weak
ankles. Crossing it.
And it's great meeting Buffy Rogers
and
P.G. Guerin. And welcome to the community. And,
thank you.
You know, just keep up the good work. And for you, P.G., have a great delivery.
Thank you.
They break legs, but I'm not sure if that's good. Thanks for joining us today. Next up, we'll hear about an unusual doctor on the Eastern Oregon frontier, Doc Ing Hay, after this break. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. As part of our Asian Pacific American Heritage Month coverage and as part of the studio part of Stage and Studio, we're presenting a series of features on Northwest Asian Americans. In the dry sagebrush hills of eastern Oregon, in the small town of John Day, a thriving Chinatown emerged, thanks in large part to an unusual doctor named Ing Hay. He later became known as Doc Hay, and his fame was spread out throughout the Northwest. His medical practice was located in a general store that's now a museum called the Kam Wah Chung. A small two-story house, the Kam Wah Chung General Store, stands dark and claustrophobic. The floorboards creak and the walls are black from smoke.
They did cook on the wood stove. Doc Hay, when he first started using his medicines, he cooked your herbs up for you and gave you the liquid, and then he started giving you the herbs and you did the cooking at home.
Curator Carolyn Meisenheimer has led people through the Kamwa Chung and Company Museum for almost 30 years. There's still a strong herbal smell in the Kamwa Chung from the herbs and opium once sold there. Ing Hay, who came to be known as Doc Hay, was a master of Chinese medicine. Doc Hay offered hope to the desperate where there were no hospital facilities or qualified doctors.
He was a pulse doctor, and he would not pick up anything with his right hand at all. He used his left hand. His right hand was his diagnosis hand, so that he would lay those fingers on your wrist and other pulses to read the internal state of your body.
Dr. Jeffrey Barlow was one of the first scholars to study the artifacts of the Kamwa Chung. Barlow discovered letters written by Lung An, Doc Hay's business partner, who also helped with patients.
They would prescribe by mail. There are many letters from people who had been in the area and had moved out or had heard of Doc Hay in one way or another, and they would write in, explain. Sometimes Lung An, we think, wrote back and asked a few more questions, and then Doc Hay sent herbs with Lung An's careful handwriting telling you how to put these recipes together on your own stove.
Among the artifacts from the Kamwa Chung are pages of prescriptions written in Chinese.
This is where Doc Hay would come and fix your herbs and medicines. He had 500 different Chinese herbs on the shelf. You would get so many and boil it up and make your tea and then drink your tea according to his directions. Or you might have gotten some kind of animal parts, deer horns, might have been ground up into powder and put in your medicine.
Doc Hay's grandnephew, Ed Waugh, actually lived in the store in the 1940s. Ed Waugh's family moved to town when he was in elementary school, and his parents slept in the kitchen. He and his brother took the bunk beds, once reserved for opium smoking.
Everything was old, the round dinner tables. Every time we sit down for dinner, instead of having a tablecloth, he just spread some newspaper, and that was a tablecloth. It wasn't a lot of comfort in there, but it was adequate to sit and visit a while.
In the past, people would sometimes come to buy groceries or pray at the Buddhist shrines Doc Hay had built. But by the time Ed Waugh's family arrived, it was usually the doctor they wanted to see.
They carried this lady into the house because she couldn't walk, and worked for, I think, maybe about an hour. And doggone it, this lady didn't walk out of there. And I was so impressed with that. I said, what did he do, you know? That kind of results, immediate results, is hard to find anywhere else. He had these checks that people wrote for the herbs, and he just stuffed them away, thinking they were usable like cash. And if he needed money, he'd just go cash one, and wealth was not a big thing with him.
This was Doc Hay's bedroom. Actually, it was under this bed that they found the $23,000 worth of uncashed checks, and it's the smallest room in the building.
Part of the income was Doc Hay, for sure. In a sense, their social network and protection was Doc Hay.
Jeffrey Barlow.
Because Hay was so valuable on the frontier as a doctor that nobody was going to permit anyone from outside to come in and shoot their China doctor full of holes. He was too valuable a guy. So for Lung An, being next to Doc Hay meant that he was safe. On the other hand, for Doc Hay, Lung An meant here is a man who can communicate, who can write, who can communicate with China where the herbs came from, who knows how to invest money, who knows how to manipulate social organization of both the Chinese and the Americans, and they were simply a wonderful partnership.
Doc Hay and Lung An were likely veterans or refugees from a massive rebellion in China, according to Dr. Barlow. So these stalwart men could hold their own in a frontier full of miners and buckaroos who would often shoot up Chinatown for fun. Carolyn Meisenheimer points to the entrance of the Kamwa Chung.
We do have one bullet hole in the door. They say the Americans would shoot up Chinatown once in a while on Saturday night and have not a malicious time, but have a scaring time for the Chinese.
Yet Doc Hay and Lung An were always on friendly terms with John Day residents. Thelma Kite was 4 years old when her mom took her to the doc for an ear infection.
One thing, I could remember the doctor would give me candy to try to get me over it, but I'd hide behind my mother's skirt and reach around to take the candy because I was scared.
They clearly loved children. The Kamwa-chung is full of pictures cut from magazines and candy ads of stereotypical children. Some of them are blonde little American girls advertising chocolates from the 1930s, and some of them are Chinese children clipped from calendars. So clearly we know that they regretted not being able to have children, and the way in which they treated local children, all the memories, or many of the memories that you have, are childhood memories from John Day.
By 1940, fewer than 20 residents of Chinese descent lived in John Day. Ed Hua and his family stayed with Ing He till he could no longer walk.
Unfortunately, he fell and broke his hip, and that was his downfall. We had to bring him into Portland then and put him into a rest home where they could take care of him because he's just too much for Dad and Mom to take care of. And I think he lived there for 2-3 years, and then he just decided there's nothing to live for. So then he passed on.
We're here at Restlong Cemetery. I feel like Dake and Lung An are old friends. Lung An died in 1940, then Dake died in 1952.
Meisenheimer personally saw to it the graves were restored.
There are 8 unmarked graves here with no record of them. And part of it is when I talk to people about them, they think the fact that there is no record of a name or anything, perhaps they were Chinese.
Yao Wai Gok
Hai. The frontier is lined with the unmarked graves of Chinese workers who helped to mine gold or build railroads. The Kamwa-chung and the story of Ing He and Lung An stands as one of the rare testaments to the contribution Chinese immigrants made to early frontier life.
There are times when I think of Lung An and Doc Hay sitting in that dark Kamwa-chung building, kerosene lighting, until well into the 1940s. I see them as men who came out of a terribly difficult environment into another equally challenging environment and totally mastered it. And for me, it's hard to see them as anything other than incredibly successful. In a quiet way, kind of heroes, not kind of stand up and shoot it out heroism, but heroism that comes to learn a foreign culture and a language and adapt to foreign ways. I don't see them as victims at all.
You can find out more about Doc Hay at crossingeast.org and at a special Crossing East Heritage Festival Crossing East Heritage Festival event on May 20th at 7:30 p.m. at Park Rose High School. That's May 20th at 7:30 at Park Rose High School. The festival features performances from Portland's Asian American performing artists, including Min Tron, Chivivanka, and Chizao Hata. For more info, call 503-233-2919. That's 503-233-2919. It's a donation-only event, so go to crossingeast.org for more info. And From a Dream to a Dream, a work in progress, performance directed by Luba Zurembinska by Hand to Mouth Theater, is Sunday, May 14th at 8 o'clock at the Goldsmith Building at 20 Northwest 5th Avenue. $5 suggested donation. For more info, go to handtomouththeater.org. That's it for Sage and Studio this week. Next week, we devote the half hour to a documentary about our Southeast Asian refugee communities in Portland as part of our weekly Asian Pacific American Heritage Month features. Till then, I'm Dimae Roberts.